In cooperation with Tucson Values Teachers, Arizona Public Media presents Teachers' Voices. What's the best way to curb the urge that some students have to drop out of school? To get them involved and motivated by what they're learning. For some kids, it may be sports or science that can help forge that commitment. But many a struggling high school student still finds the key to better learning between the covers of a good book. It's something that our next guests see happening every year. Mike Beeson is an English teacher at Tucson High, while Ron Mead teaches writing and the humanities to older students at the University of Phoenix. Mike begins by asking Ron how he came to write a concise grammar book for those who hate grammar.
So how'd you get interested in writing a book about English?
When I joined the University of Phoenix, I was disturbed by the number of grammar errors my students were making. And so instead of distressing over it, I decided, hey, you know, I'm going to do something to improve the situation. So what I did was I collected the common errors that they make, right? And I put them in a handout, and it shows the error and how to correct it. And instead of my correcting their papers, they correct the error, and then I saw improvement in their writing. So then it led to this book, A Concise Grammar Book for Those Who Hate Grammar, to make it available to other teachers as well. So that's really how it works. And I saw improvement in the students' writing. But this is just one piece of, you know, getting students to improve their writing.
So why in the world do kids at the college level, I look at my high school students, freshmen, seniors, who don't know a noun from a pronoun, and just scratch my head.
You know, a lot of my students have been out of school for a long time, so they haven't done any kind of writing whatsoever. And they also, I hate to say it, but they don't read much, you know. And now with newspapers going away, they don't read books. They watch DVDs. We're a visual culture, I think. I think that's a problem because I think, would you agree that reading is important?
I think reading is the most important thing for writing. Mm-hmm. One of my joys is introducing my friends, my fictional friends, from the worlds of Steinbeck or Hemingway or whoever, to my students. I've had kids come up and say, like, for instance, one of the very best books for the ninth graders, I teach freshmen and seniors, is Of Mice and Men by John Steinbeck.
It's wonderful, yes, sir.
And I've had boys come up who have said, you know, Mr. Beast, I cried at the end. And you think, well, yeah, I mean, how could you not cry when Lenny gets shot? You know, it's just the saddest thing in the world. And then what we'll do is sometimes we'll show, especially at the freshman level, show the movie, and they'll say, but they left out, and there's so much, and the book was so much better, and that's a good movie,
And when they say the book is much better, that's good. That's good, because that entices them to read more, I think, too. You know, they're part of a visual generation of video games, and I had students confess that they watch video games or play with video games all night long and not do their homework because it's addictive to so many. So I think you and I have a real challenge to get through all that in this culture today. In one instance, I connected a book, 127 Hours, to the movie where Aaron Ralston was trapped in a little canyon and a boulder came down and he had to amputate his arm. So I show that clip in the movie. And then I have them read that passage in the book to compare. Or this book, Will Work for Food, written by a friend of mine. It's interviews with Tucson's homeless. And I passed out one of the chapters, and one of the students said, man, that is really interesting, this man's life, you know. Can I take this book home and read the rest of it? I think what happens is they have forgotten, or maybe have never experienced, the joys of reading. You know, how compelling reading can be.
And the exciting thing is you do run into kids that will say they've never read, and now they love to read. So so it's not like there's some window of opportunity, and once they're 12 or once they're 16 or something, they'll never be readers. If we could just find the key to open up their imaginations, their desire to learn and enjoy a good book.
And I think you and I, what we do is we get them excited about reading because we're excited, and our excitement for reading will hopefully stimulate them, be infectious, you know, to them, so they get excited about reading.
One of the challenges is to get the kids to not only think critically and then to write, but then to want to write it better.
Right.
And I've got a bunch of students, but I'm thinking one just recently was writing an essay, and she was proud of what she had thought. She had some good ideas, but she was just tripping all over herself with the grammar and the spelling and all that. So she was embarrassed about not her ideas in her brain, but how her communication, which of course is the writing. And that's where your book is real helpful, as to show the difference between ITS and IT apostrophe S. It's the difference between, I think Mark Twain said, between a lightning bug and lightning. You know, every word is important.
You know, and one thing I do too is, you know, we want to show them the joys of writing too, that it's a creative art. It's a creative act, and it can be very rewarding. They see it, too many of them see it as a painful thing to write. But if we help them see that you can get into a flow, a cheap high, so to speak, really get a sense of satisfaction out of writing a good paper. And I've seen students do that. You know, they just get really happy. Oh, I'm really proud of this paper, you know, rather than see it as a painful process.
And a lot of times the kids will say to me, I didn't know I could do this. I didn't know I could write. I didn't even know I could think this. Because to really think, you know, you force yourself deeper and deeper into your brain about what, well, why was this? And why do you think he did that? And and what was the consequence? And how could he have changed that? And then all at once it's, you know, when they rewrite and they rewrite, not only is the grammar better each time, but the level of thought gets deeper and deeper. And so if you had some kids that are actually proud of what they're saying.
And, you know, the drafting process is very important. I had a fellow tell me years ago that, you know, it was important to write a rough draft, and because many students would just hand in the first draft.
And
a friend of mine told me, you know, Ron, you can't edit a blank piece of paper. You've got to have something down, and then you rework it. It's a creative act of reworking what you have down, you know. So the importance of writing rough drafts, and the students like that because they think they have to get everything down perfectly the first time, you know, which is, you know, you can't do that. Everybody writes rough drafts, and good writers. I like what you said about the characters in these books becoming part of their lives. It becomes part of your family, you know, the Dickens characters and all that, too.
I get to introduce my friends to my new friends. Yeah.
We just heard Ron Mead, University of Phoenix writing and humanities instructor and the author of a concise grammar book for those who hate grammar. He was talking with Tucson High English teacher Mike Beeson, who is celebrating 35 years in the classroom. Listen for more stories about educators and students facing America's dropout crisis together in the coming weeks here on Teachers' Voices.